Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
No one takes much notice when a pecan falls, but when a jumbo jet crashes on the earth, the whole world takes notice. When you cut down a cherry tree, it goes down with a whisper. But if you cut down a sequoia, the whole forest trembles for miles around. That's the way it is with people and with nations. They may go down with a crash, the silent, or they may go down with a crash that changes the world. When the mightiest man who ever lived on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, fell from the cross that he was nailed to, the scriptures tell us that the sun was darkened and the earth shook, and his resurrection changed the world. Our text rings with words, "How the mighty have fallen." Both King Saul and the crown prince died in a useless, and most historians say a worthless, war. David speaks in a mourning setting. He gives a funeral speech, if you like, that stresses the good things that Saul and Jonathan did in their lives and the tasks that they were able to perform. And it does not talk about at all the sad things that occurred. It is a very sad lament to a kingdom that started out so well. The truth is that Saul had fallen from grace. He was arrogant, proud. He couldn't control his temper. He dabbled in the occult. He was insane part of the time. As a matter of fact, when you go to Israel today and you go to Saul's palace, they still refer to it as the Hill of the Fool, because King Saul was disobedient to God. God removed his protection and his anointing and let Saul fall. That can happen to us too. It can happen to any of us. And so we do not judge Saul too harshly. There is one who judges, and it is not us. But it is a tale that tells us that we should always, without question, be obedient to God. Amen. And that way, we can be assured of his protection and his anointing. But if we should choose unwisely, we will end up apart from him forever. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. You are exalted above all things. And now we know that you are here amongst us. You have said, whether two or three of our people are gathered together in one place, there am I in the midst of them, in the very midst of them. Father, we know you're here. Your Holy Spirit is here. And so we welcome you here, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask only that your word will dominate everything we hear. Father, if I should say anything clever or humorous. Anything that is not exactly your word, then cast it out, Father. We don't need to hear that. We came here to hear from you. And so, Father, we ask that you speak to each of us here. May your Holy Spirit speak in whatever language we understand the best into our hearts the meaning of your love and of your care. May we be your humbled people, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to read today from 2 Samuel. We're going to read 16 through 27. It's Samuel 1, verses 16 through 27. I should tell you what has happened. There was a man who saw Saul as he came over the ridge. And Saul knew that chariots were after him. And he was wounded. And he was tired. He was on foot. And so he saw a man down the hill, and he said to the man, "Come, take my life." Because he knew that if the other army took his life, they would get all the praise and glory, and he didn't want them to have that. In a moment of lucidity, he chose his own demise. And this young man went and took Saul's sword and killed him. And then he brought his crown and his bracelets, the symbol of his power and of his wealth, to David's camp. David asked him who he was. He said who he was, what he had done. And David couldn't believe it. He said, "You mean that the crown prince, Jonathan, has died in this battle? You mean that you have killed Saul?" And he said, "Yes. It is my sad duty to you." He was worshiping David all this time. David thought about that for a moment. And then he said, in verse 14, "How was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and execute him." And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, "Your blood is on your own head, for by your own mouth you have testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" Then David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. "The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. O mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, no fields or of offerings. For the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their eyes, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me, Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war perished. David was remembering his first encounter with Saul, who was a mountain of a man, whose armor was way too big for David, a little shepherd boy from Bethlehem. David reminds us that the former king and prince had been swifter than eagles, stronger than lions, beloved and handsome. He does not mention the royal mistakes. If there is a moral to this story, it is you can't believe the obituaries when you read them or tombstones when you stand beside them. David became the king's favorite for a while. But Saul had depression. He had rage. He was a psychopath. He was paranoid. And in Saul's mind, David had become his worst enemy. It didn't make any difference that David had fought many battles for Saul. Didn't matter to him that Saul had given his daughter to David in marriage. It didn't matter to Saul that David's best friend was his own son, Jonathan. None of that mattered. Maybe you can understand. The man who came from Bethlehem, a shepherd, a boy, a man after God's own heart, why he would have said, "How the mighty have fallen." It happens in every area of life. It happens in politics, sports, business, entertainment, too often in the church itself. Richard Nixon was elected by such a majority of votes that it was called a mandate. He carried with him into the Congress a house of Republicans. A house was not divided because the Senate was also Republican. He had everything going for him, which was why people were so shocked to hear about Watergate and a cancer growing on the presidency. You can hear as he stepped into the helicopter for the last time the words, "How the mighty have fallen." The world tuned in to watch the Russian ice hockey team play the American ice hockey team. The Russians were all professionals and they were the vast favorites for every betting person there was. But when the Americans had won and the celebration began, you could hear "How the mighty had fallen." Same thing is true in business. Charles Keene was the best businessman that the world had known. He made millions for himself and billions for people who followed his advice. And then came the Lincoln Savings and Loan scandal. And Charles Keating went to prison. And the United States taxpayer paid $2 billion for his mistake. You could feel how the mighty had fallen on our very backs. Churches, it falls too. There is the decline and fall, most tragic, of television evangelists here in America. Most amazing to me was the 700 Club. That and PTL. Praise the Lord. The Praise the Lord Network fell. And there is an object lesson there for each and every one of us, that God removes his anointing and his protection for those who are disobedient to his rules. You may be able to fathom this mystery. I don't know what it is. But it seems everybody knows you're about to fall before you fall. Everyone predicts it except you. There are lots of little Titanics floating around in our little boat. You remember that they said of the Titanic, the men who built it, said that even God could not sink the Titanic. You may think you can get away with it. Nothing can touch you. That you're beyond judgment. That you have paid for and gotten yourself into heaven by your good works or by your monies or by whatever. None of that is true. We think we're immune to justice, spirituality, physicality, morality, materialism, or socially. But there is no charm that can keep you from the fall of the arrogance or the dishonesty of the proud. Jesus warned his disciples in advance of their fall. He told his disciples that they would all flee from him. They would all forsake him. He told Peter that the devil desired him and would sift him like wheat. When Peter was at his very best, Jesus told him he would deny him three times before the cock crowed. He warned Judas that Judas was going to be known as the betrayer. So what about you and me? What do we do? How do you keep yourself upright in a fallen world? Well, the only answer I know is this. You model your life on Jesus, who was tempted as all of us are tempted, and did not sin. You avoid pride and self-righteousness, and you respect dishonesty, and you reject that dishonesty, and you look at that with a jaundiced eye. The abuse of power, as it comes against the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. What else? Well, Micah 6:8 says he has shown you. God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That is what is required of every human being, and is required of every person who calls himself a Christian. Saul fell. He fell because of very many reasons. He might have said in this common world, in the common age, that he was a victim. That he fell because he was just a victim of circumstances and stuff. He was a victim because he had bipolar things. That he was a victim. But he was not. He was a victim of his own self-righteous, proud, arrogant personage. That's who he was a victim of. None of us can say we're victims. We have people lying in the hospital right now, at this very moment. Are they victims? Each of us has the obligation to pray the prayer of faith over every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ. We have the obligation to pray the prayer of faith over a whole world that doesn't even know Jesus, because that is who Jesus told us to witness to. He said, go into the world, into the people groups of the world. Make disciples, teaching them all things I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end. There are many of us who are sick and afflicted. Sometimes God uses these afflictions to correct us. Saul never heard the correction of the Lord. He never heard that word spoken to him in a way that he understood it. He chose not to. Or he uses it for our edification. One way or the other, God uses everything that happens to us. And it is for our good. I heard today that in the British Isles, that 50% of the schools had voted and made a decision not to have competitive sports because it might hurt the feelings of those who lost. We do not live as snowflakes in this world. We live as more than conquerors in this world. We have a power that is invested in us that Saul never had with all of his armor and all of his army and everything. We have a never give up mentality. And we have a conquering hero. And his name is Jesus. He has fought the good fight. He has fought the good fight. He has won the battles for us. All we have to do is secure our place under his wing. But do not think that God created you to live a charmed existence. He did not. I hate to tell you this, but just because you're in the house of God doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a Cadillac. It doesn't make any difference. The difference is God being in your heart. Saul did not have God ruling and reigning in his life. And so Saul fell. His anointing was lifted. In those days, the anointing came down upon you. Now, Christ's anointing comes inside you. But in those days, Saul was anointed on the exterior, but his spirit of anointing left him. God's protection left him. That could happen to us. That could happen today. When we leave this place, we need to be filled with the power of God to overcome all the obstacles that are laid before us. We need to have the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, in our hands. We need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to be armed with the full armor of God so that we can go out into this world and take whatever it wants to give us, whether it's good or bad. And when we fall, we know that we fall in a forest of other trees and we shake the earth because of our absence, because the people are in our lives. Too often I see on the television on the little scrawl that this was the last day of some movie star. That's not important. What's important is the day that I saw Mother Teresa had died, because she affected the lives and hearts of many people. And when she fell, little wisp of a woman, barely 80 pounds in size, the fall was very great. The loss was great. But the fact that she worked her works bore fruit. And that is what we're supposed to do. When we lay down our lives, we're to look back and see the fruit springing up that we have worked so hard to do. But unless God plants the tree, they labor in vain that plant it. Unless you're centered in the Word of God, unless you're centered in the root of Jesus, you cannot stand in a fallen world.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.